This episode is brought to you by USAA Insurance. USAA Homeowners Insurance not only helps you cover your home, it also helps you cover your budget, lower your premium in a number of ways, like saving up to 10% when you bundle home and auto insurance, saving up to 15% if you've been claims-free for 5 years, regardless of your previous insurance provider, and scoring even more deals and discounts on things like home security, moving, and storage with the USAA Perks program. Tap the banner or visit usaa.com/homeowners to learn more and get a quote. Restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Netflix. Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Seven-time world champion and modern-day legend Tom Brady, the greatest of all time, finally gets roasted. Hosted by Kevin Hart, Tom Brady gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for the roast of Tom Brady live only on Netflix. Foot Clan draft season is rapidly approaching. I mean, we're talking August is here in just a few weeks. The Ultimate Draft Kit, our draft guide that's being updated throughout the entire offseason, is available right now. You can get in ultimatedraftkit.com. I just spent some time updating my players, moving some guys up. I don't want to tell you what I did because you got to go check it out. UltimateDraftKit.com.
Welcome to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast with your hosts, Andy Holloway, Jason Moore, and Mike Wright.
Welcome in. Thursday, July 21st. The Fantasy Footballers Podcast back with you. Mike Wright, Jason Moore, Andy Holloway. The trifecta inching our way towards August when we will be a five-day-a-week podcast. We are doing a live show in Los Angeles here on the 30th. And when we return, gentlemen, we will be 5 days a week. How did we get here? I don't know how time works, but here we are.
You will wake up in the morning.
Yeah.
And you'll say, is there a show from the Fantasy Footballers? And the answer will be yes.
Yes.
Yes, there is.
It's coming. AFC East breakdown on today's episode of the show. Some news to talk about. Doing some best ball breakdown at the end of the show with Underdog Fantasy. And, guys, I don't know how to tell you this.
Just rip the Band-Aid off, yeah, man.
Make it quick.
Very positive responses to the potential Deuce Cam.
Oh, okay.
So, right. I don't know how to feel. I don't know how that reflects on the audience at hand, that they were so into that idea. But, you know, we're going to put the producers on camera very soon.
I feel like they should be backlit. And when we finally reveal the Deuce Cam, it's just their silhouettes.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what do you guys think about best.
Love it.
Okay.
What about, like, masks?
Can we also contort their voices?
Oh, yes.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
This is not Brooks.
But we'll see. It'll be coming soon. Twitter at the FF Ballers. Mike mentioned it at the top. The Ultimate Draft Kit available right now, ultimatedraftkit.com. If you want to be a part of our fantasy football community, which means access to the Mega Bowl tournament coming up, extra episodes of the show. I mean, there's almost 18,000 of you that are a part of it.
I will wake.
yes, the Mega Bowl lurking
from my slumber
in the shadows. That is jointhefoot.com. A lot of premium in-season perks there as well. But if you want to be a part of the community, you want to support the podcast, we are independent. We have been for 7 years. That is jointhefoot.com. Let's talk news.
News and notes from around the league.
Just a couple pieces of news to talk about. Ian Rappaport said there's some optimism that Michael Thomas will be cleared early in training camp. That news doesn't hit me with a tremendous amount of, like, optimism because it's not a lock. And when it's not a lock after three seasons, I guess I just feel like you're going to have to do stuff on the field during the season, Michael.
Yeah, I mean, this news really comes from Nick Underhill, who was saying that there's been a lot of positive vibes around, and he's a very plugged-in beat reporter for the Saints. And he's shared when it's been pessimistic. So I do care about this news because, you know, we're talking about underdog today. Michael Thomas has fallen so far, and I he's going behind DeAndre Hopkins, who you know is missing six games. Michael Thomas has a chance to play 17. I obviously we want to see him. We want to see him on the field. We want to see him at training camp. It's been 2 years on an ankle, and so I think we are pessimistic, but it's good that the vibes are getting better from the Saints.
You're right. There are so many question marks around what it means to have him healthy that I think it compounds itself. Is the injury question, and then let's pretend he's healthy today. What does that translate to? How often do they throw the football? What is Jameis Winston's health, which also seems to be reporting in the positive direction? But the over-under right now on Michael Thomas is 800 receiving yards. So that's where the line's set. So that's the same level of trepidation. You drop Michael Thomas and you get 800 receiving yards, you're not very happy.
Yeah,
I mean, where are you taking him in a draft?
Very late.
But 800 receiving yards, you're not – I you're going to enter the category of like an 11th round Christian Kirk gets you 800 receiving yards. I mean – that's 47 a game. That's going to be a problem.
Yeah, I mean, that being said, we all have him statted out for basically over 900 at least, which, you know, still is not the Michael Thomas of old. I would never bet a receiving line on Michael Thomas until I know about the health. I guess if I had to bet it, I would just bet under because unders are the smart bet this time of year due to injury.
Are you drafting Michael Thomas ahead of Chris Olave?
I have been drafting Michael Thomas ahead of Chris Olave.
I would.
And then this is some news, you know, one of the players, and this happens during the summer. Sometimes like our show, all three of us ended up independently slightly below ADP on Najee Harris. One of the players that we have not been extremely, you know, he's not a touted sleeper in the draft kit, but he's a sleeper that's very popular in the community right now. Tight end Albert Agbenam of the Denver Broncos. This report comes out. They spent a draft pick, third round pick on Greg Dulcich, tight end, pass catching tight end.
And he's a stud.
Very good tight end.
I mean, the argument before the draft was, you know, Trey McBride or Greg Dulcich, the NFL went the route of Trey McBride with the second round capital, but Dulcich not far behind in the third.
And so right now, the trendy Albert O pick, maybe those expectations being tempered by the report that Greg Dulcich will compete for the starting job. And it's been reported he's the more natural pass catcher of the two.
He's a stud.
And also got first team reps. So it's something to watch because the truth is this is not a message saying, oh, maybe Greg Dulcich will be super valuable.
Right.
This is a message saying maybe neither will, which happens a lot. And, you know, Albert Agbenam has not had. He's been second on the depth chart behind Noah Fant. So this is not like an established presence in the offense. If you look at Arizona and you say, oh, the hype about Trey McBride drafted ahead of Greg Dulcich, you have an established Zach Ertz. You have a well-paid Zach Ertz. It's more murky in Denver because Agbenam's dealt with injuries. They intentionally went out and got Dulcich. So I do think that this could make it just an not valuable position.
Yeah, I mean, Dulcich is not going to come and light the world on fire as a rookie tight end. No rookie tight ends do, but he can do enough to make Albert O just a bad pick. And there's a lot of, you know, you've got Cortland Sutton and Jerry Jeudy and Tim Patrick.
That's why I was off Albert O before even the Greg Dulcich news came out. It's like there are three and like in the fantasy community, we're like, is it Jerry Jeudy? Is it Cortland Sutton? I mean, that's a fair conversation to have. And it's Tim Patrick is also very good. Like, so to have three like really solid wide receiving options.
KJ Hamler's there too.
We'll see if he's back. I mean,
he's going to be back.
Javonte and Melvin Gordon could catch passes too. So
yeah,
the tight end position is not the premium one here for the Denver Broncos.
And so if I'm taking a late round tight end sleeper, just to close this loop, it's a Cole Kmet locked in as the one.
Yes.
It's David Njoku paid and locked in as the one. So that's something to pay attention to when you're drafting and you're looking for a sleeper. Any other news we need to
talk
about?
We do have
about?
A little bit of breaking news.
Okay. Did it come through the old sleeper?
Yeah, it did come through the sleeper. The 49ers have officially given Jimmy Garoppolo the green light to go find a trade. And
what?
We had an offer of 2 second-round picks for Jimmy Garoppolo. Which, okay, Kyle Shanahan, if that's true, now you're just a really, really big dum-dum. Because I don't think you're going to get 2 twos for Jimmy Garoppolo at this point. But that's also coming up again because of the injury or the surgery that Jimmy Garoppolo had. It seems like he's been cleared to start practicing. So he'll be on the move one way or the other, through trade, through cut. Something's going to happen.
I mean, if he's sitting on a dynasty waiver wire, he could get a starting job. He could be the starting quarterback for the Seattle Seahawks. And I do think it's possible he's the starting quarterback for the Houston Texans.
Also possible.
But I don't know many other teams.
That would be so unfair to Davis Mills.
Yeah.
I mean, Davis Mills showed everything you wanted for a third-round quarterback.
Not everything. They won 4 games and they were like dead last in every offensive statistical category. So I think we saw flashes, but I would still understand a team and a head coach wanting to keep their job.
Well, it's a brand new coach. So
yeah, that's what I mean. Look, you can lose it in 1 year.
Yes.
Lovie Smith could be gone. Jimmy Garoppolo is much more proven.
Agreed.
But you said it wouldn't matter if he, matter to your Brandon Cooks.
No, it would be lateral. I mean, I already love
Brady. I would feel terrible for Davis Mills, too. I'm with you on that. Yep. I'm not saying it's the move they should make, but they could make. Is there any other team that even, Kyle, is there any team that you think is in contention for Jimmy G?
Oh, come on, Carolina.
Oh, come on. Come on.
Just no one else needs him.
Yeah, that's kind of where the leverage is lost by San Francisco.
I don't know. The Jets could use him.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
Oh, it makes a lot of sense because they got a lot of good weapons and no quarterback.
It makes sense, like, if they want to, you know, win games.
Right.
Yeah.
But
if they just want to make sure that the young quarterback there is not good, they can do that.
We're talking the Jets today. Which
okay, well,
I'm
let's,
now,
let's do it.
I'm now not looking forward to at all after Mr. Davis Mills over here can't get behind the hope of Zach Wilson. But let's kick it off.
Let's get divisional.
I don't want to be boxed into the corner of defending Zach Wilson.
Then don't do it.
But somebody has to, like, temper the hate on this show. I had to do it with Josh Allen once, guys.
You did.
Don't make me do it again.
Well, let's talk Josh Allen and the Bills.
Yeah, 11-6 last year. They hit their preseason win total. They were 0-5 in one-score games. So they were basically in every game because they only lost 6 games on the year. So they only had 1 game that was not a one-score game that they lost. That's impressive. That was a great season. Their win totals at 11.5 going into the year. They were dominant on all the offensive categories, fourth in pace of play, third in points per game, fifth in total yards, fifth in pass attempts, 13th in rush attempts, because it makes sense. They throw the football a lot.
When you have a team that throws as much as the Bills, I mean, they just don't want to run the ball, which is glorious for both real life and fantasy, and yet you're still top half of the NFL, that means you play fast. You get a lot of extra plays in, which matters for fantasy.
Yes, it does.
Their defense was outstanding. And the one big offseason coaching change was the loss of Brian Daboll. Mm-hmm. You also had Bruce Arians leaving in Tampa, so you have a couple of offenses that were like well-oiled machines losing kind of crucial pieces, but you got Byron Leftwich still there. You have a ton of stability on this offense, and obviously the Stallion running the show.
Whoa. Excellent.
So do you have any concerns about the loss of Brian Daboll?
No, no concerns whatsoever. I have no concerns over the loss of Emmanuel Sanders, Cole Beasley, Brian Daboll. Josh Allen has proven that he is, among the best of the best. He will run this offense. He'll run it quickly. He'll run it efficiently. And I think you want pieces of it.
Sure.
What does that say about a Brian Daboll, who you can look at the Giants with optimism because of his arrival, but then we don't think it's a negative impact? Like, if you were adding Brian Daboll to the Bills.
I think it's more of like, so Ken Dorsey, who took over, he was the quarterback coach for several years. So
there's stability.
To me, it's more just you have a feller here who was able to learn under Brian Daboll. And, unless there's something I haven't seen here about the Buffalo Bills trying to change what the offense was over the last couple of years, I think they'll just there's definitely some variables of Dorsey, new at this, but overall it goes to Josh Allen, and your confidence in him as a quarterback, as just a such an imposing quarterback who can take over the game running or passing, so that you just feel confident in what they're up to.
Yeah, he was the number one quarterback last year in fantasy, which makes it two consecutive years for Josh Allen. And I believe last year's stat total was maybe the fourth highest fantasy output at quarterback in the Super Bowl era. So this was a prolific year, in a year where people questioned whether he could do it again. They lose Emmanuel Sanders, Cole Beasley. They add Jamison Crowder, O.J. Howard to the passing game. James Cook in the second round, a rookie running back. And so, Josh Allen is that special type of fantasy quarterback that wins you your matchup.
Mm-hmm.
He can go out there and put up 33-plus points like he did 7 times last year. And, this is stunning. 5 weeks as the QB1, more than Herbert, Brady, Mahomes, Rodgers, Stafford, and Dak combined.
He has to do that again, though, if you're going to take him in the second round. That's a lot of quiche there for a fantasy quarterback.
Yeah. Will he?
No. He won't have that many. Will he finish as the quarterback one? Yes. Will
Good
he
chance.
Have,
yeah.
That's how I've got him projected. But
is he worth it?
He's not worth a second round pick. I don't think so. Not when you have the Jalen Hurts, Kyler, Trey Lance, mobile quarterbacks who aren't going to be that far away from Josh Allen later in drafts. And then you get a first round or a second round, a third round running back, wide receiver, and build your depth around your team in other ways. I still think it's a mistake to take him very, very high, even though I assume he's going to finish as the number one quarterback.
Last quarterback to do it 3 years in a row, Dante Culpepper.
Wow.
So.
I would have thought Rodgers kept doing the thing where he was one, then two.
Yes.
Then one, then two.
Yeah, he checked the microphone.
Devin Singletary was the running back two for the final 4 weeks of the season.
Man, this is where it's good, because Josh Allen, not really confusing on what he's going to bring. What the crap is Devin Singletary going to be? Where the drafting of James Cook, clear indicator that they are officially moving away from Zach Moss.
I don't blame you for blanking on that name. I mean, what a boring player.
It didn't work out, but there's just the running backs. Thank you. The Bills running backs saw 15% of the team's targets. That was fourth lowest in the NFL. Like, that's not enough to give you a really high-end running back one. Not that Singletary is being drafted, anything like that. But him and James Cook are being drafted right next to each other because the fantasy community is like, you have fooled me with Devin Singletary before, and yet he was so dominant to the end of the season. Where are you guys at in the ADP of the eighth round for Devin Singletary? Can he continue that end of season at all?
Yeah, I've actually been drafting both of these running backs, and I like Devin Singletary in the eighth round. That's where you get a drop off from some of those great wide receivers, and you're kind of in a middling tier of a lot of question marks at wide receivers. You're grabbing a guy who was really, really good down the stretch. And yes,
before that was bad. Like, before that, if you had been playing him, yes, he finished as the RB11 in week 2 and 22
but
in week
before,
10, but it was bad.
Before that, the constant thing for him, you know, was 40%, 44%, 26%, 45%, yes. 34% snaps. That's how it was to start the year. So, yeah, he wasn't that fantasy relevant. At the end of the year, 82, 93, 68, 80, 76, they said,
yes.
They said Zach Moss, sit down.
Yes, they
just
did.
Just stop it.
Well, they tried somebody else first.
Yeah,
right.
Matt Breida.
They
was
tried
there.
Matt Breida. So they were, I mean, they were trying hard not to play Singletary. So it's hard to say that, you know, through after 3 years that this is a lock, but the cost is very minimal.
Yeah, in the eighth round, the starting running back for the Bills, I think, is a valuable gamble. What you saw him do down the stretch, and it wasn't like yeah, he beat up on Atlanta and New Jersey, but he also had great games against New England, Carolina, and Tampa Bay's run defenses, which were great. So in the eighth round, I'm fine drafting Devin Singletary because he's not your running back one, your running back two. You're taking a shot at a great offense, and really, the same could be said about Cook when you're late and you're drafting a bench running back when you want a okay, maybe he. Maybe they were scrambling and looking. I think both guys are just – it's a risky pick that is worth taking because they're both talented and on a great offense.
It feels a little bit like the struggle we've had in Kansas City in recent years, finding peripheral value where, okay, Clyde wasn't going to be just the guy, so then do you grab Darrell Williams? Does, you know, Jerick McKinnon get a draft selection? Where you're trying to find that player that, by nature of the offense, gets a lot of opportunities. But the one troubling thing in Buffalo is that Josh Allen is going to soak up a lot of goal line.
Yes.
And they're not afraid to throw the ball to maybe the most reliable pass catcher in the game, in Stephon Diggs, around the goal line. So Diggs, very safe. Being drafted in the top of the second round everywhere.
Yeah, and I've taken him at the end of the first a couple of times. I think he should be in the conversation to me with the top three guys, the Cooper Kupp, Ja'Marr Chase, and Justin Jefferson trifecta. Diggs, you know, there's a lot of lost targets to this offense. Emmanuel Sanders is gone. Cole Beasley is gone. And so obviously we've had so much offseason talk about Gabriel Davis. I love Gabriel Davis, depending on where he's being drafted, which is
sure.
Wildly different depending on what platform you're on. But I think Diggs is just, he's guaranteed to be great. He could have had more touchdowns than he had last year based on his, you know, end zone targets. And is just, you know, they just paid him a ton of money too. So I love grabbing Diggs if he's in the second round.
Gabe Davis, we call him the 35 reception man because that's what he's done both of his first 2 years. He's going to need to do a lot more than 35, put up a lot more than 35 receptions to deliver this year on the promise, but it's that potential third year breakout. It's the explosiveness we saw in the very end of the season when he saw most of the snaps.
You saw in the playoff, what was it, a 4-touchdown game?
Like, mm-hmm.
And I mean, a lot of things have to bounce the right way of not just a player having a great game. You need other people to screw up and help you get to that point. But it was the same thing as Devin Singletary, where the team favored Emmanuel Sanders, which at the beginning of the season, Emmanuel Sanders had some juice. He was helping that team out. And then as the season progressed, the snaps started to go up and up for Gabe Davis, and he looks like he is a full-time player, you know, bigger, like not huge, but 6'2", 210. That's a decent-sized wide receiver. And for me, the Gabe Davis situation is not even like arguing, is Gabe Davis a great top-tier wide receiver? I don't care. Do the Bills view him as their second wide receiver because Josh Allen is going to throw a whole bunch of touchdowns and yardage? So I think that Gabe Davis, as long as the ADP is not out of control, which in your home league, if you're listening right now and you got a home league draft in August, he should be at the point where it is well worth the risk of his ADP. Just be careful. Don't get out of control and let the hopes and dreams of what Gabe Davis can become have you drafting him in like the fifth round when you have true known number one wide receiver still on the board.
Yeah, in underdog, he is, You're getting him at the beginning of the fourth sometime.
He's, yeah, that's no thank you.
His ADP is 43.5 right now, and it's what it says to me, the sharp minds, the money there is in on Gabriel Davis, and I don't think he returns. Like, when you take that pick, he has to be great. You're basically drafting his ceiling.
No.
But in your home leagues, your fantasy football leagues, he's going to be there in the sixth, seventh round, and I would scoop that up left and right.
What about center?
Not center.
Well, we'd need three rounds for that. Be, you know what I mean? Okay. It's like sixth round play in left, slot. Seventh round right, eighth round would be the center.
Okay.
It reminds me a little bit of the Marvin Jones. I mean, Marvin Jones was the big touchdown target in Cincinnati before he had an opportunity for more snaps. I think he had 2 4 touchdown games on that team. Gabe Davis, like you said, if he's in the seventh, eighth round,
then yes,
it's going to be interesting. Jameson Crowder will be interesting under the same premise. I mean, if Cole Beasley was a relevant fantasy asset with a 19% target share and he's being replaced by a younger-than-you-think-he-is Jameson Crowder.
Wait.
Well, do you want to guess?
I do.
Okay.
Because I would have been sure, like, he's 28.
Oh, then you are under.
Yeah, he's 29.
So older than you expected.
Oh, okay. Well, 29 is not a young – I was just really surprised.
Yeah, but he's been around the block a lot. I mean, you would have been thinking, 31, 32-year-old receiver with the career he's had.
Compared to Cole Beasley, who is 33, spring chicken.
There you go. I mean, that's a good example. Also, Dawson Knox is part of this offense and had a breakout year last year.
I'm looking at Jameson Crowder's profile on thefantasyfootballers.com. I totally forgot. Remember when he was Jameson Target?
What?
His name?
Yeah, there was the year because he was getting so many freaking targets.
In Washington?
What? No, I don't even remember that. What a bad nickname. Why would we do that? Jameson Target?
In the moment, it was great, Jason.
Yeah, it sounds so bad now.
Well, because he's not getting targets.
Yeah, fair enough.
Or one, because it wasn't targets. It was just Jameson Target.
It'll be interesting because Gabe Davis, like I said, 35 is the reception peak of his career. So if it doesn't come to fruition, if he ends up being a lower volume touchdown kind of wide receiver, which is very possible, Jameson Crowder and Dawson Knox could be more involved than we saw last year, sharing some of that Cole Beasley target share.
Yeah, I mean, the reality here is it could have been summed up.
Not even Jameson targets?
No, just target.
Jameson targets sounds okay.
Yeah.
Jameson target is like,
that's the new line coming out.
Right, like
at Target.
This is the Target.
Jamie some targets
in the city of Jameson. Have you guys been to the Jameson Target? Like, that's what it sounds like to me. But basically, draft Bills.
Dawson Knox is the tight end nine right now.
Okay,
are you comfortable there in the ninth round?
Yes.
Would you take the shot?
I'm willing to do that. Yes.
They do start the year on the road against the defending Super Bowl champion, so that'll be a fun game. All right, quick break, back with the Patriots.
This episode is brought to you by USAA Insurance. When you're a homeowner in the military community, peace of mind is priority. And USAA Homeowners Insurance is the award-winning service to give you just that. If you have to file a claim, the process is transparent and easy. You can do it all right in the USAA app. And replacement cost coverage comes standard. That means damaged items are repaired or replaced, even if they cost more today than they did when you bought them, which could put your wallet at ease to tap the banner or visit usaa.com/homeowners to learn more and get a quote. Restrictions apply.
Hey, Foot Clan, this episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Take a minute to check your social battery. How is it doing? Does the thought of social events make you feel excited or exhausted? Maybe sometimes those events make you feel drained. Maybe they make you feel like you're bursting with energy like Papa Josh. But you might not know why it's at that level. Maybe it's not enough boundaries set up and you're just doing too much. Maybe you get less social in different times of the year or you're working too much. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin. Look, we live in the era of hurry, hurry, hurry. And social gatherings, they pick up, and then you are burnt out. So you got to figure it out, and therapy can help you figure out that self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery so you can enjoy it. And when you are feeling worn out from socializing, therapy can help give you the tools you need to recharge and take care of yourself. I highly recommend that. All you have to do is give BetterHelp a try. Fill out a brief questionnaire. Get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch them at a moment's notice. There's no extra charge for switching therapists if you didn't find the right one. And you can find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/footballers today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/footballers. New England, 10-7 last year with a preseason win total of 9, so they outperformed that. 3-3-1 score games. They're projected for 8.5 wins, so that went down.
Yeah,
nonsense.
Which could be a product of
Dolphins are
Dolphins.
Better.
Yeah, the Dolphins and the Bills' win projection is up. Yep. Dolphins' win projection is up. I'm fairly sure of that. Maybe it's the same as last year, but New England last year 6th in points per game. Does that compute with what you saw on the field?
No, it does not.
Yeah, as a team, they scored a lot. But this isn't one of those fast-paced teams. And so for fantasy, you didn't get as many plays run. It was very efficient. I mean, tons of field goals, right? Nick Folk was great.
Oh, I forgot Damien Harris was out of – like, Damien Harris was 15 rushing touchdowns.
Yeah, 15 rushing.
Woo, baby!
I mean, it was a really slow style of we are going to play old-school smash-mouth football and defense, mm-hmm. have a game manager and rookie Mac Jones who – did everything they asked him to do very efficiently for a rookie. And the question now is this going to be a similar style of offense? Is this going to be a slow, smash-you-in-the-mouth type of team? Or with year two Mac Jones, do they start opening things up more? Do they allow – you know, they went and they got Devontae Parker. They drafted the fastest player in the draft at wide receiver in Taekwon. And so do they open up the passing game and speed up a little bit, or do you think it's still molasses?
Yeah, I mean, 28th in pace of play last year, and I don't expect much different. I really don't. You're going to be more effective with a second-year quarterback and those weapons, but, I mean, they were 14th in passing yards. Do I think it's going up? No, they're going to be middle of the pack, I think, in that department. They know how to run the football, but, you know, part of that points per game is they blow people out. They've had these games where they dominate on the defensive side, second in points against, 54-13, 50-10, 45-7. So when the going was good, it was good. But from a fantasy perspective, it's still very hard to – each position group is very difficult to break down. Like, I'll take Devontae Parker over the rest.
Me too.
I'll take Damien Harris over the rest.
I will as well.
But I don't know if – I mean, let me see where the draft cost of Damien Harris is right now. 6th-round pick. RB26 after a 15-touchdown season. Believe it's the final year of his contract. Is that right?
It is.
Which is, I mean, that's the, what, Josh Jacobs is in that situation too. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he's a great runner. Doesn't catch the football. I'm not too concerned about James White. James White's return because of the injury and just, I don't know how involved he'll be, but Ramondre Stevenson was very impressive.
Ramondre Stevenson is very interesting because you're at the point in the double digit rounds where the starting running backs are long gone, and if you're just trying to look for some depth of, I can see the path forward for Ramondre Stevenson to be great because on the field he was excellent. He can be a pass catcher if James White is going to miss time. It's very possible that they turn to Stevenson for that type of the role in the short term, and then Damien Harris is always, like most Patriot running backs, one or two fumbles away from, well, we're going to put Stevenson in now and see what happens. But you get those, you get some high-scoring games and someone with juice, a younger player, Stevenson in the 10th, I think it's worth taking a shot. You're going to have to hold on and see what happens. So that you're probably taking up a roster spot for a few weeks, but I think he can really elevate a team towards the second half.
Because of how he played when Damien Harris was injured, which is another concern for Damien Harris, you started to see the way they were going to use these guys, which they would just give a drive to Ramondre. It would be a full drive. It would be first, second, and third down to Ramondre Stevenson. You also saw games where they had it, you know, it was out of hand, and they'd take Damien Harris out for the second half or for the fourth quarter. So it's not fun to try to figure that out. each and every week. So that's why you see the depleted, like for a team that runs the ball as much as they do, to see their first running back off the board in the sixth round.
Yes. Who was the running back 13 last year with 15 touchdowns. It is a little weird.
Yeah, it is weird.
Because here's the reality with Damian Harris. There is a team that Damian Harris is a great draft pick for. Damian Harris is not – look, it's not going to get better than last year because he doesn't catch the ball. Mm-hmm. He's not going up from 15 touchdowns. So last year was peak Damian Harris, his best year of his career. But if you're telling me 10 touchdowns and a lot of serviceable, usable, startable weeks that you can grab in the sixth round – depending on how you built your team, if you went wide receiver heavy and you've got four awesome stud wide receivers to start, well, you could plug Damian Harris in there and know, look, I'm not trying to swing for the fences and get the running back five here, but
I'm just taking a single.
Yeah, exactly. I'm gonna put my wide receivers on the bases and just bring in runs.
I love you having to do baseball references.
It felt like I was putting my hand on a cheese grater. I'm going to be honest. It was not a good time.
Well, but moving it or just resting it?
A good slide. I'm going to need several little Band-Aids. Just so many little cuts. But the reality is, knowing that he isn't that swing for the fences, he's not going to be better. I don't think I've drafted Damian Harris once because where he's going.
Rashad Penny or Damian Harris?
I would take Damian Harris for the offense, the touchdowns, and all of that. But it's where he's going, it's the other positions. It's Jalen Hurts. It's Amon-Ra St. Brown. It's guys that I like better at other positions in that sixth round than Damian Harris. And I'll come back and grab Ramondre in the 10th.
No one spends more money on their wide receiver and tight end room than New England. They have more money spent there than any other team in football. Yet, if I ask the question, is there one player – from the wide receiver room or the tight end room that you'll start every week? Can you give me a name?
No.
That will be locked into your lineup?
No.
I mean, one drafted inside the top 10 rounds? No. 11 rounds? No.
I do really like Hunter Henry in best ball because you know he is a touchdown monster. They you know, looked his way last year. He's got a long history. I mean, he's been good for fantasy most of his career. So I think he's a good pick in the 11th round. It's rare for someone who was a real, you know, positive value player last year to still be drafted so low. So I like Henry, and I would agree with you. I'm taking Parker over Jacoby Myers.
Which was the worst offseason signing last year? Jonnu Smith for the money he got paid leaving Tennessee, or Julio Jones for the money he got, the trade that they did to acquire him?
I would say Julio. Like Jonnu, because we're looking at things from a fantasy football perspective. We're not looking at it as
blocking.
He was relegated to being a blocking tight end, and the team was eighth in rushing yards and second in rushing touchdowns. I mean, he helped the team. He just doesn't help our teams.
Right. The Dolphins were 9-8 last year. They started 1-7. And unlike Mike's fantasy team, they rallied in the second half of the year.
Hey.
and the rally was not enough to keep Brian Flores around. So they go into the season this year with a projected Vegas win total of 9.
I was very sad because I wanted to dunk on Jonnu, but he was, in fact, graded as 83.2 in PFF run blocking. So he was a very good run blocker.
Why did you want to dunk on him?
So that wasn't a fist pump. That was a darn.
That was a darn. That was a dang it.
That was a darn. I don't get to besmirch the man, Jonnu Smith.
Slash you.
100%. That is correct.
Okay. The Dolphins were 5th in pace of play, 8th in pass attempts, but 22nd in points per game. They did not get it done. 30th in rushing yards. So we all remember what happened last year. It was a disaster. Trying to watch these running backs piece their way through game after game, whether it's Salvin Ahmed or Miles, the gas man who ran out of gas.
Empty gas can.
So, I mean, they kind of reworked everything in the offense. They went out and got an offensive-minded head coach, Mike McDaniel. They picked up Tyreek Hill, a blockbuster acquisition. They get a second year Jalen Waddle as part of this offense, and then you have Chase Edmonds, Raheem Mostert, Sonny Michel, just a re-roll of the running back room. So what's your sentiment about this offense heading into 2022? Are you optimistic like the Dolphins fans are?
No, I think, not like the Dolphins fans are. I think it's going to be a good offense. Good, not great, is the way that I classify the Dolphins. I don't think that they are going to light the world on fire and they're going to be the next Chargers. I don't think Tua is going to be able to take that leap forward. I hope I'm wrong, unlike, you know, looking forward to the demise of Jonnu. Here, I want success.
So weird.
But I don't believe that Tua can run a high pace, you know, like a successful offense that is putting up a ton of offensive points. Last year, this was a team where you had a lot of dink and dunk with Jalen Waddle, and that was successful to a degree.
And that doesn't remind you of any quarterback in San Francisco who had pretty good amount of success in this system?
Sure, but now with Tyreek Hill, you know, sure, bring...
I'm just saying, like, Jimmy Garoppolo is the dink and dunk king over there in San Francisco.
Would they bring him over?
No, but I'm saying, like, Tua is accurate, and he's dinking and dunking, and that's what this offense is.
Do you think he's going to run kind of a, I mean, obviously it was a very run-heavy team with the 49ers.
Yes.
Do you think that's the system they're going to do with the personnel here, with Tyreek, with Waddle, and not, you know, the same level of run blocking? You think that, you know, because the Dolphins aren't known for their great offensive line here.
Their offensive line got a massive upgrade. They got Armstead from New Orleans, and they got Williams from Dallas. Like, they've pieced things together.
I'm pretty optimistic.
I am as well.
Because you have players that are, I mean, who's better after the catch than Tyreek Hill? Who's better after the catch than Jalen Waddle?
Right.
So, even Chase Edmonds. I mean, Chase will probably always end up a better real-life player than a fantasy player. But for the purposes of moving the offense down the field, Chase Edmonds has been elite for his quarterback. And so when I look at making life easy on Tua, I see those three pieces plus a head coach that knows how to make life easy. So what that translates to, you know, this is a team with a lot more fantasy options that are being drafted than an offense like New England, right? Chase is being drafted, Tyreek and Waddle, Gesicki, people have interest in him.
Oh, don't do that.
So I don't know. I don't know what that means for Tua, because he's not being drafted. I mean, he's somebody that you can pick up and stream and maybe you stash him on your bench on a Sunday morning when the season begins, because what if they unlock something powerful on offense here?
Yeah, I would say don't let my optimism for the Dolphins and the offensive weapons on the team, that doesn't also correlate to me being like ecstatic for Tua, the fantasy quarterback. I think that the player Tua will be able to handle this system, and it's going to be set up for a tremendous amount of success.
And there are plenty of examples in history where there are highly drafted, successful skill position players where it didn't correlate to a great fantasy production from the quarterback position. So you might be saying,
oh, like Jimmy Garoppolo last year.
Exactly.
Right, exactly. Where it was great for Debo. And
Kittle was a tight end 4. Debo was the wide receiver 2.
Yeah.
Elijah Mitchell was I don't remember where he finished, but finished very high.
Yeah, and
20,
Tua
right?
is not going to be adding 500 rushing yards on the ground to help fantasy value. So I think my favorite piece here, I really like Jalen Waddle because of the Tyreek trade. People are forgetting just how good he was. But I think my favorite piece lately, and I have been getting him left, right, and center.
There it is.
Oh, yeah. Three rounds.
Is Chase Edmonds. I'm in.
I'm in, man.
I'm fully in, which I was so anti-Chase Edmonds last year and the last few years.
Which phrase do you like more? Left, right, and center.
Okay, hold on.
Or, okay, because you've gone to that.
No,
you've gone
left,
to that a few
left,
times.
Left, right, and center.
Or sets the world on fire, which I think might be your new one. Which I'm trying to really piece together what that means, because it sounds devastating.
Well, no, yeah, it's great. It it's
yeah.
great. Because
it's
you become
good for
them. Yeah, you become the king of the new burnt down world.
Yes.
Mm.
And you raise it as you see fit.
That's right. So I'm going to take that, because I think that's more productive.
Okay.
But
you're drafting a lot of Chase.
I am drafting a lot of Chase, because Raheem Mostert, I don't think is going to be able to... You know, the health issues he's had, his age, and all of those things, I think he's going to be just a nice ancillary piece. When the offseason started, they went out and they got Chase.
Yes.
He was one of the first signings. This was from, you know, obviously, the head coach is very familiar in division with where Chase Edmonds has been. The scheme fit.
Yeah, the speed.
The scheme fit and the speed is perfect to be able to get a starting running back. Like, you, I'm very confident that he is the starter on this team. At the 8-9 turn, who can catch passes, that's just, it feels like stealing.
Tyreek Hill is a second-round pick right now.
Oh, man.
Jalen Waddle's a late fourth. He had the rookie record for receptions. I know you brought him up. You thought he's, you know, that's still pretty expensive. Wide receiver 16 off the board for Jalen Waddle. It's not like he is.
I think what Jason was saying, that if Tyreek wasn't here, where's Jalen Waddle going? Like, Jalen Waddle's probably being drafted in the second.
I agree with that. But do you like Tyreek at his cost, or do you like Waddle at his cost? Because Tyreek is the wide receiver 7, and if he was still in Kansas City, he'd probably be the wide receiver 2.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going with Waddle out of these two guys. I'll take someone from a different team with my second rounder.
Okay. And then Mike Gesicki, Mike, you said it early.
I'm out, man. Like, OUT, this was – I don't
– This is franchise tag, Mike Gesicki.
Yeah, this is franchise tag. The no long-term deal was worked out. And it just with the addition of Tyreek Hill going into the system, I do not have faith that Gesicki will be a 20% target share guy. Getting just real bad vibes out of there.
And then we move on to the New York Football Jets, 4-13 last year, and the preseason win total was 6.5. It's 5.5 for this year. So they are the most popular over bet right now. So they were 4-5 in one score games, which means they had 9 of them amongst those that troubling season. 12th in pace of play, 28th in points per game. Zach Wilson was not healthy throughout, and he was not good.
Accurate.
The defense was also terrible, and no offensive line was maybe worse for the purposes of protecting Zach Wilson, who was sacked often. So we come into this year, and you say, hey, you've equipped him. Breece Hall. Best running back in the draft,
mm-hmm.
Now in the backfield. Michael Carter was very effective in the passing game. Elijah Moore is there. Garrett Wilson was drafted very, very highly and heralded. And you look at most people and they review the draft and they say the Jets had the best draft of anybody. So you have a lot of optimism with the pieces here.
Mm-hmm.
How far does that go?
it's,
and how do you draft the players around them in fantasy?
I feel like it's grabbing a rock and seeing how far you can throw it. But
what size of a rock are we
talking
about?
Like perfect baseball size rock. And I go to
flat
throw
or round?
Just a round. It's I'm basically
okay, it's not one of those flat baseballs.
Yeah, it's I'm throwing like a baseball.
Why did you say
a baseball?
Well, because in my mind, I'm standing at a lake, and I don't usually throw baseballs into lakes.
Well, that's why I was asking, is this a skipping stone?
Let's see where he's going.
Yeah, but when I throw it, it's the rock / baseball is tied onto like a 14-foot rope that is connected to my leg. That's what it feels like because...
Throwing it, and then you want it to keep going.
I want it to keep going.
But it just snaps.
Is it strong enough to pull you in to the water?
No,
or
it's a baseball.
Yeah, I don't think so. I know
Mike's having a real trouble.
My point here is I feel like the whole team, and this is the reason why I'm so kind of down on Zach Wilson, is because I love the pieces. I just love this offense. Elijah Moore is so good. Garrett Wilson is so good. No one loves Breece Hall more than I do, and I want it all to work out well, and I feel like when it doesn't, we all know the reason why. So really, the optimism that I have and the hope in these beautiful rock baseballs is that Zach Wilson can take that leap, that he can become what they drafted him to be. I mean,
yeah, and he can because it's been one season on a terrible football team. You know, it wasn't too different than what Trevor Lawrence went through last year, where both these were number one and two pick, and they looked terrible. But that has happened a lot in NFL history where, you know, you're giving him everything you can. At the end of the year, if you want to dunk on Zach Wilson, that's fine. But before the season begins, it seems like, you know, he's got pieces. He's got weapons. He's got another year under his belt. He was hurt for part of last year. I'm not pretending he was good last year.
Yeah.
But I think that you don't bury a guy that was on a team that all the ancillary pieces were not helpful. Elijah Moore was hurt throughout last year. Your best running back was... You were running Tevin Coleman out there a lot?
Well, Michael Carter was their best running back.
By the end of the year, but they were running Tevin Coleman out there every single week to start the season.
Okay, so let's talk about this. What is the positive case for Zach Wilson? What, let's say things go right for him. He levels up. At the end of the year, we say Zach Wilson is they got a franchise guy.
Yeah.
What are his stats?
4,025, and he keeps the interceptions down.
Yeah, I can. Okay.
I mean, because he started last year with like 7 picks in the first 3 games and he only threw 4 the rest of the way. So you got to control that. You go out there and you go 25-14 and you throw for 4,000 yards and you're better than 6-win team.
So to me, the good case for Zach Wilson, 4,025, which that fantastic. But that you try to split that up between Elijah Moore, Corey Davis, a rookie Garrett Wilson. You know, you're not splitting up 4,535. 4,025 as the bullish case just seems like you're going to be disappointed with a lot of the receiving options. Now, if that comes through and the offense is good and he's a future franchise guy, obviously Breece Hall seems set. You know, that he probably had a great season, but I just don't see the receiving options working out well in redraft leagues
for this season. Yeah, I mean, I get it. I get it for sure. I mean, Jimmy G obviously missed a few games. He threw 20 touchdowns last year. You're going to need a lot of work done, and Vegas obviously doesn't see this team making the leap this year. It's a tough division. You play New England twice. You play Buffalo twice. You play Miami twice. I mean, it's the most brutal division to be in, so even if you project a better future for the Jets, it could be the same this season.
So for Breece Hall going in the fourth round, Jay, you're good with that ADP?
He's an auto pick for me in the fourth round.
I'm very happy to take him in the fourth. Like in the running back dead zone, at least you're getting youth, you're getting athleticism, and we don't know yet for sure. We don't know what the plan is for Breece Hall. But to me, when you and they did they trade up? I have a memory of them moving up.
Yeah, they moved up a pick or something.
They moved up a couple picks to make sure they got Breece Hall. It came out after the draft that they were trying to get back into the first round to get Breece Hall. So they desired him to be on the team. He has a 3-down skill set, and I think that that's very possible that week one he has a 3-down set. Even if it's a bad team and Zach Wilson doesn't fully utilize checking it down to the running back, that's still massive volume for a young guy in the fourth.
Yeah, I mean, rookie running backs with his profile, they do well. Yeah. I mean, there's plenty of red flags here. But if you're saying, you know, the offensive line is better than what Najee had last year, if you're saying, like, the biggest red flag is Michael Carter.
Well, no, the biggest red flag is that they are going to win 4 games. They ran the ball less than anybody in football last year, and you're going to be playing from behind constantly. So if he doesn't get a lot of third down, you've got a first and second down running back on one of the lowest scoring teams in football who's playing from behind. I mean, they gave up more points than anybody in football last year on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah,
so that's the worst case for me.
That's why when you've got a back like this with great production also in the receiving game, it's, you know, you hope, and maybe that's where the Michael Carter fears come in, because he is a capable pass catcher as well. You hope that if they're down, they're still involving Breece Hall in the offense because he is one of their best playmakers. And so if he's involved in the passing game, he'll be a great pick.
Garrett Wilson, Elijah Moore, both eighth-round picks right now. People are basically flipping a coin and deciding which one to take.
As of right now, I'll go with Elijah Moore. Targeted on 24% of his routes. That's the 10th best among rookie wide receivers since 2014. And yes, like I can make an outstanding case against Elijah Moore, mostly because Zach Wilson wasn't there for the production for Elijah Moore.
Garrett Wilson wasn't there.
Right. But we know that he can ball. Like,
there were no Wilsons around when Moore was doing this.
Exactly. But like, just watch some tape of Elijah Moore. He's good. And second-year wide receivers, they off like running backs with Breece Hall's profile, they do well. second-year wide receivers, they often do very well as well. So I would take him well over Wilson.
All's well that ends well.
Yes, for Elijah Moore, hopefully.
This episode is brought to you by The Deal. The line between business and sports is getting blurrier by the day. To understand it all, check out The Deal, a podcast co-hosted by Yankees legend Alex Rodriguez. Every week, A-Rod and Bloomberg reporter Jason Kelly speak with big-time athletes, entertainers, and executives like Derek Jeter, Maria Sharapova, and more. The Deal takes you behind the scenes into the world of sports, business, media, and entertainment, and dives into the wins, losses, and lessons learned along the way. From Bloomberg Podcasts and Bloomberg Originals, listen to new episodes of The Deal on Spotify every Thursday.
Best Ball Breakdown, presented by Underdog Fantasy.
All right, so today on our Best Ball Breakdown, we are looking at the last round of your best ball drafts. It often feels like it's like a throwaway pick. You're in the 18th round. There's names of...
You're exhausted.
There's names of guys you don't necessarily like. But we did a deep dive, and we looked at best ball rosters over the last 7 years. And guys that are going past pick 200, so basically that last round. And some of these players over the last few years have been absolute steals. You got in 2018, James Conner was drafted at the 200, was awesome. You have players, Hunter Renfro last year was on average the 222nd drafted player. He finished as a top 12 wide receiver. Terry McLaurin back in 2019. The list goes on and on. And so from last year, you have Cordero Patterson, Elijah Mitchell, Darrell Williams, Hunter Renfro, Kendrick Bourne, Tim Patrick at tight end, Dawson Knox, Dalton Schultz. These guys were massive different makers for best ball leagues, and that was in your last round. So we wanted to give you some names of guys that fit what these last round guys...
The steals.
So the difference makers. So at running back, right? You want guys that maybe an injury ahead of them, vault them forward, and they have pass catching in their profile. Here's some running backs that fit that in the last round. Jerick McKinnon?
Sure.
He's been available there from time to time. He dominated in the playoffs, averaged basically 100 all-purpose yards last year, and that was with Clyde Edwards-Helaire there. Chris Evans.
That's a name I like to bring up. Chris Evans from the Cincinnati Bengals heading into year two. I mean, these are low-probability odds, but again, it's your last pick in best ball. He was a sixth-round pick, so the draft capital's not there. But the way that things are being talked about, at least for beat reporters and things out of Cincinnati, should Joe Mixon miss time, it sounds like Chris Evans will be the primary replacement. Again, we talk about insurance running backs. It's hard to know right now exactly who it'll be. But as of this recording, it seems like Evans will be the one that takes over. And when you're in best ball and in these tournaments and things, you kind of need everything to go right.
Yeah, I think he would be a dominating running back given the opportunity. You have Eno Benjamin from the Cardinals. Darrell Williams drafted way, way, way above him, and I think Darrell Williams will have that job.
Yeah, Andy, are you still that?
Darryl, I think Darrell will probably get it.
I do too.
Yeah, I mean that. I mean, as the drafters do as well. But it's not a lock. That's not a done deal. Who the backup is? If you listen to beat reporters around the Cardinals, Dearness Johnson fits that with two guys ahead of him that could get injured. And Tyler Beatty.
We've
talked about him recently.
Baltimore.
Dude looks like a Beatty.
Wah-ha! Wah-ha!
Okay.
It's my only contribution to this entire segment.
Look, I mean, I love Aerosmith very much.
I'm a big fan of Dude Looks Like a Beatty. Would that be like an official nickname? Like,
I don't know, man.
Tyler, Dude Looks like his nickname is Dude Looks Like?
Yeah!
A Beatty. But, Baltimore, a lot of injury worries with J.K. Dobbins, even with Gus Edwards, rookie running back there. So, the wide receivers, there's usually five wide receivers per year above expectation. Those are most commonly second-year wide receivers who bottomed out in year one. Rookies drafted third round or later in the NFL draft, but who can start right away. And veteran wide receivers who never broke out but are younger than 27 years old. Here's a list. write them down. Terrace Marshall Jr.
Now,
unless you're driving.
Did you? Yeah. Stay safe out there. Did you put Terrace Marshall on this list, or was that Kyle?
You know it was Kyle. Kyle is the biggest Terrace Marshall stan.
I feel like this entire tip and segment was crafted just to make us talk about Terrace Marshall Jr.
Yeah, but we're done with that part.
We are done with that part. Why don't both of you guys give me your favorite late round wide receiver target?
So with the late picks, I preferred the young, the upside guys. So like it doesn't feel great at this point, but like Velus Jones for the Chicago Bears was a second round pick. There is a huge opportunity for the Chicago Bears in terms of can anyone on that offense other than Darnell Mooney as a pass catcher step up? Cause I mean, they're having like just tons of off the field problems. No one's locked into that second wide receiver spot. So throughout the season, Velus could be that guy.
And Jalen Guyton's been getting...
The third round pick. Thank you.
Jalen Guyton in Los Angeles has been getting headlines recently. Just how he's coming into the season. Everyone wants Josh Palmer. He's going much higher. But Jalen Guyton, especially in a best ball format, I mean, you're going to get what he's got, which is speed. You're going to get those incredible 60-yard back foot Justin Herbert.
Yep.
Blow your mind. And that's going to be Guyton on the other end.
Yeah, 100%. And you know, you brought up Velus Jones. You could stack him pretty easily with
Fields
and Zay Jones. They gave Zay Jones a lot of money.
They did.
You know, he's going to be involved. This isn't like you're not going to get the 60-yard touchdown as often, but I do think he will have plenty of weeks that can crack your lineup for a last round guy. And finally, tight ends. Tight ends, you're looking for an opportunity and a good offense. Can they hit 8 touchdowns? You know, is that possible in their range of outcomes? Mo Alley Cox.
Hold on. Like in one game?
Right, yes.
I mean, then if anyone on this list can hit 8 touchdowns in one game, it would be Gigantor Mo Alley Cox.
I think if a man that big scores, they count it as 8 touchdowns.
Yeah, when you can spike the ball into the ground. Here's another name I like. I think I stand alone.
Is it Jonnu?
No, of course it's not Jonnu. How dare you? No, it's O.J. Howard.
Okay.
Nobody wants him. He's behind. You know, Dawson Knox is the you might be saying O.J. Howard. Who's he playing for? He's a Buffalo Bill.
Him and Evan Engram. They can make up your like tandems.
Yeah. So I just think you know if I want a quarterback that's going to throw 35. Touchdowns, right? Josh Allen's going to throw.
Kate Otten in Tampa Bay fit that?
Kate Otten,
I mean,
could, yeah.
I think obviously Gronk is gone. He's not coming back.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen the Cameron Braid experiment, and it's not a special one anymore.
Yeah, I would throw Kate Otten in there. Brevin Jordan is another name.
I would take Brevin over Cade, personally.
That's tough.
I mean, if you're saying who's...
Probably twice as many touchdowns thrown by Mr. But, Thomas.
I mean, exactly. I will not bet on rookie tight ends.
It is tough to bet
on
rookie
tight
ends. I will
not do that, especially but, ones that are not drafted in the first round.
Okay.
Or the second round.
Any other names?
Or the third round.
You could maybe draft Taysom Hill and hope that maybe he gets some quarterback play in there.
No.
Okay.
No.
All right.
I will not...
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
That is going to do it for today's episode of the podcast. Don't forget, we're back with a Saturday release of the show before we get to 5 days a week in August. Thank you so much for tuning in, supporting the show at jointhefoot.com. Make sure you check out the Ultimate Draft Kit at ultimatedraftkit.com. Until next time, Mike Wright, Jason Moore, Andy Holloway, and the Deucers, farewell.
Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Join our fantasy football community on jointhefoot.com and follow us on Twitter at the FFBallers.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. When I went on my last holiday to Cape Town, it was amazing. My friends were there, the weather was phenomenal, and most importantly, the food was fantastic. But one thing I struggled with was finding the right places to stay. You know, all I want is a great bed, a fantastic shower, and breakfast that doesn't end at 8 a.m. I'm on holiday, I'm still sleeping. I also like ease, and the Hotels.com app easily helps me to find a perfect hotel for every trip. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly getaway or a relaxing spa weekend, on the Hotels.com app, you can compare up to 5 hotels side by side. Now, why would you want to do that? So you can see prices, amenities, and star ratings. And best of all, you don't have to switch back and forth between options. See? Ease. So, start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app today.